You are about to enjoy a presentation recorded at the 2023 Michigan Conference Camp Meeting held at Cedar Lake, Michigan. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen.
Father in heaven, Lord, what a joy it is to know that we can change. Lord, our house may be not what we wish it was right now, and my life may not be what I wish it was right now, but every day we can grow closer to you. We can become more like you, and we can do our best to change. We can allow you to transform us. Lord, we want that change. We want you to work in us, to do your good pleasure. And Lord, we want our lives, our homes, our hearts, our minds to be organized by you. We want to live in neat, tidy spaces that reflect your plan and your goodness. Lord, bless us as we go through this day. And as Patsy gives us her presentation today, Lord, may our hearts be inspired and maybe be encouraged. And maybe remember that angels delight to work by our sides. They will help us. We're not in it alone. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amy?
All right. Well, I could tell you lots of stories about how my family feels about my organizational abilities here, and I will include a couple of them as I go through my tips, but my first tip, you're going to love it. Are you ready? Number one tip, move every 5 years. I am telling you, we've moved about every 5 to 7 years, and it makes you pare down stuff, man. And if you really want to get minimalistic, move every year. One, if you do a good move every year, you will get so sick of moving that junk that you thought you really wanted that has been in the storage box, and you'll finally decide that you're happy to live without it. So, while I know that you can't actually, most of us don't actually move every year, you can pretend like you're going to move every year. And you can go through every room in your house just like you would if you were going to do a move. And when you know that you're going to move, I'm telling you, the purchasing ideas change. Do you know that when I go to the store, like, okay, so let's say I go to Goodwill and I'm looking for something particular and I see something else, I'm like, ooh, I really like that. And guess what I ask myself every time? Do you want to move that? Like, that is literally the question that pops into my mind because I have to move it. Do you want to move that? No, I don't want to move it. Well, then do you want to get rid of it when you can't use it anymore? Well, if I'm willing to part with it and it's going to do me good for right now, I may be willing, but that's the question I ask myself. So that was tip number one. My phone keeps like closing on me. Tip number two, be generous. Willing to share with others your excess. You know what, guys? We all get excess. I do too. I don't even know where the stuff comes from. I can't figure it out. But when I have extra stuff, this was especially true when I had young kids at home. Because you get toys. Like, where do these things come from? I'm convinced they breed. There are two things that live in a house with young children. There is a sock monster who only eats one sock. And there is something that reproduces toys. I don't know how it happens, but they just pop up out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, you're like, where did all this stuff come from? So when we would have extra things, I would get rid of them and share them with kids who don't have stuff. You don't understand. There are families that are refugee families that have just moved to areas. There are families that have had fires. There's families that have just experienced loss or divorce or separation that have moved in with grandparents who have nothing for these children. And when they can go to Goodwill and pick up something for $2, and it's super nice because you just gave of your good stuff, not just your junk stuff, it benefits somebody else. Be willing to share your excess. I love that. And then you don't have to feel bad. So Aunt Bertha gave your kids this cool, awesome toy that for whatever reason, they just don't use. But man, there's this little Hispanic family down the road that just moved to the area. Their kids have nothing and they are elated. They play with that very thing that sat, collected dust and made your kids pick up the bazillion pieces of it 4 times a day. And now they're loving it. Aunt Bertha's happy. It'll be okay. She will be happy that it was shared. Remember that God has promised. This is the other thing. Sometimes we think, well, I might need that again someday. Remember this, Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be what? Given to you. How? pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. If you want to save something that you are not using, God is not honored by that. And I remind myself of that. There's a family that could use that extra set of dishes. There's a family that could use the extra vacuum cleaner. There's a family that could use the extra food processor or the blender that you just don't ever use. You thought you'd use it. The air fryer, right? You thought it might come in handy. I don't ever use an air fryer. Give it to somebody who would use the air fryer. You are then a blessing in living that principle. And God will give back to you. If you gave away something that was useful to someone else and they've used it, and all of a sudden in 2 years you find yourself needing it, God has amazing ways of providing it back to you. It's incredible. So that's my tip number two. Tip number three. Are you ready? This one is where my kids are like, no, I burn it. I really do. It's the truth. I burn everything, especially paper. I'm a pastor's wife. We would be wading through papers if I didn't get rid of them. I just burn it. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. Occasionally, okay, I've been using this process for, we've been married for 28 years this July. And there have been two occasions that I've regretted it. Once it was ashes, and the other time I had to dumpster dive. But otherwise, only two times in 28 years, Patsy. I'm telling you, it works out pretty good. But I had a teacher call me one day, the principal of the school. He taught high school math, and my son had taken an algebra test. And this test had kicked around the table past my 3-day like time limit. Like, I can hack it for a day, but then it's there the next day. I'm like, what is this and why it's still here? I looked at it, you know, it looks like, yeah, he missed a few problems, whatever, we'll move on, right? Day three, it was trash day, and I happened to burn the papers that day, and that went in with everything else. And he called me the next day, and he said, hey, did you see an algebra test for Curtis Land, you know, there at your house? And I'm like, yes. He said, well, could you send that back with Curtis, or could you bring it in today? I'm like, no. There's a long pause in the end of the line. He's like, okay. I'm like, I'm sorry, Mr. Coffey. That thing is literally ashes. He's like, oh, well. You know, and I can't reconstitute it, but that was the two times that I can think of in all 28 years where burning it did not benefit me. But it saved it from building up in my trash. It helped me be able to eliminate it. And I can live a happy, less cluttered, joyful life because I don't have extra stuff kicking around all the time. So those are my three favorite tips.
Thank you. Let's give her a hand. Great ideas. Love it. What a blessing it is to hear people who, she has how many kids? Five kids. So if you have any question about excuses as to why you could have clutter, just remember Amy, who has five kids and she kept it burned. All right, the word that you're going to hear a lot today is the word clutter. Yesterday we talked about organization. Today we're going to talk about clutter. And one thing I would like to start with is clutter can make us sick. God is not sending moving vans from heaven to take us home with our clutter. He is coming to take who? You, us, we. That is what his priority is. And I would like to just give you a few stats before I start out. In the 1950s, houses were about 1,000 square feet with one garage, maybe. But if you were to go and look in a lot of neighborhoods today, you would see 2,400 square feet of home, three garages, one shed, and even a barn. We have so much storage, but yet we don't have enough places to put our things because there are rental units that have come up all over the place, and people, in fact, one in 10 households rent a storage unit. It's absolutely amazing what we here in the United States collect and call it special. There's two kinds of clutter that we normally collect. Number one, it's situational clutter. Situational clutter is clutter that comes If a parent dies and you have to move everything from their house into your house. The other kind of clutter is if an adult child moves back home with his things, and then he or she brings it with them. And this just fills your home, so there's very little living space left. Now, I would like a volunteer, one volunteer. Come on, there is one right there. I'll take her. Pop up. I'm going to show you what clutter can do in a very short time. Would you stand right over here, ma'am? We all love to go shopping and purchase things. And over the course of COVID, something has happened to our shopping. We can actually go on the internet and the next day receive a box. I'm going to give you a lot of things to hold. With a smile. The smile. Here, here's a prettier one that's not broken. There you go. Good girl. So hold that underneath. There you go. You get boxes with smiles on them, and it makes you happy when you see the smile. Amazon will come right to your door. So then you decided, hey, I think I'm going to go shopping again. And lo and behold, there's a sale, and it's 2 for the price of 1. All right, so she purchased 2 for the price of 1. 2-for-1 sale, okay? Then, you know what? She had a really bad day at work. I mean, it was rough. And she thought, what can I do? And so she decides to go shopping. And she gets on one arm. You need to move out here so people can get the full effect. And on the other arm, and this is not an advertisement for it is written, but hey, take it if you want it. She goes shopping and comes home with 2 bags of things that helped her feel better when it was all said and done. And then in her home, she has what you call family heirlooms, okay? And this is one that I got a long time ago. It's very precious to me, but I never use it. And I'm wondering, what am I going to do with this thing? But I still have it, okay? That represents our family heirlooms. And then what happens every single day of the week is the mailman shows up, and he gives us piles and piles of paper. It could not just be the mailman, it could just be you collecting pieces of paper that you have decided you don't want to throw away. And then on top of that, you decide to go shopping and you find a beautiful pair of pants that you just can't live without. And they're a size too small, so you're just going to hang it in the closet for when you're going to lose those 5 or 10 pounds that you want to, you know, that so you can look really cool in those pair of pants. And then something else happens. You go shopping, and this actually happened to me. These are Merrell shorts. They were $50. And I've washed them and worn them twice, okay, in 20 years. And when this is over, I'm going to get rid of them in your honor, okay? But really, we have things in our closets that we've spent money on, and we go, oh, I can't throw that away. I've got to keep it at least 20 years, and then I'll feel like I've gotten my money's worth, even though I've never worn it or never used it. Another thing we do is that something breaks and we still like it, but it's broken. And so we keep it. We put it downstairs in the basement, or we put it in the back of a closet, and you just hang on to it day after day, month after month, year after year, because it's just, I spent enough on it, it's broken, and I think I'll fix it someday. But what? Someday? That's right. And last but not least, let's see what I said about this one. We keep it because we think of its value. And I have kept this. I never use it, but because I spent money on it, I'm still hanging on to it. I should give it to somebody. Would anybody like to have a flattener? Right there. I got a taker. It's brand new. It just got out of the box. Come and get it afterward. I'll be happy to give it to you. Thank you. Those are your parting gifts. Have a seat. No, I'm just kidding. But I think you can relate to some of the things that we just described here and realize you can relate very much to what happens here. So our clutter, as you can see, weighs us down, and clutter can make us sick, depressed, and discouraged. And when we are cluttered up in that way, we eat more, we sleep less, our exercise suffers, and we are overwhelmed and find it very hard to relax. Really happens in our homes. And this stuff competes for our attention. Our mind thinks about all these little things that we have stored and shelved, and it just stays in our mind. It actually keeps us from being happy, and in the end, it makes us very unhappy on a day-to-day basis. So I'd like for us to start with a new chapter. I'd like for us to turn the page. I'd like for you to write a new book in your life. So I'm going to give you just a few things that you can do to make that happen in your own life. And I'm going to bring Jesus into today's lecture near the end that we're going to be talking about. But right now, something a little practical. Take the time to make decisions. Decisions that maybe are shelved, are stored and untouched for many years. It begins with one drawer, one room, one shelf, one at a time. And when you finish, you go, I can't tell I have been there. I can't tell that I've done anything. But if you consistently do it day after day after day, then it is going to begin to make a difference. And if you find yourself overwhelmed, bogged down, hire a professional. They're out there. They want to help you to make your home look beautiful. Or maybe you could ask a friend at church. Say, would you come and just help me organize my kitchen? Sometimes just two people working together makes it happen very, very quickly. And you end up having a deeper friendship because of that. Work in short blocks of time. Depends on your schedule and how much you work and how much you don't work. You might be only able to sacrifice 1 hour a day. You might be able to sacrifice 2 hours a day, maybe even 4 hours a day. But make a commitment to sacrifice some time to make a difference in your living space. There's a rule that says one in and two out. Do you know what that means? If you bring something home, two things must go out to replace it. That way, when you're finished, you've got 50% less than you did before. So it's important that you these are intentional decisions that you make to start a new chapter in your life. The I might need it someday, never usually comes. So stop tricking yourself, deceiving yourself. The devil wants to keep you thinking that later is better, tomorrow is awesome, and it never comes. So, you know, that's the devil speaking to us. I really believe in my own life. When I put things off, it needs to be done. It needs to be done. When the thought, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is bringing thoughts to my mind, things need to be done. And the devil is saying, hey, get yourself a lemonade and go sit on the front porch, and just lays away the day. So it's get very, very sensitive to the thoughts that come into your mind, and know and ask yourself, where are those thoughts coming from? You will see and feel a positive upswing in your mind and home when there is less clutter. Did you know you will treat people better when there is less clutter? When there is clutter, we tend to be on edge with our family members and we play the blame game, which really came out in the questions that came in today. Wasn't that interesting? From three completely, totally different people, and yet the spouses were part of the blame game. So do not store boxes of unmade decisions. Clutter breeds clutter. I'm telling you, it happens to me over and over again. I put a piece of paper on the counter. And how many times should we touch a piece of paper? Once. You put one piece of paper on the counter, and sooner or later, another piece of paper magnetically finds itself on top of there. And your husband and your kids put another bunch of paper on top of that. Never leave a piece of paper laying around. For one thing, Amy would burn it, but in most of our homes, it just grows for some unusual reason, and we all know how that works. So if you're, don't let the cost of clutter hold you back. Don't let the cost of your clutter hold you back from getting rid of it. No matter what the cost is more if you keep it and you don't need it. If you are not using the stuff in your room, in your home, get rid of it. You're not going to start using it by stuffing it in a closet somewhere. That just makes it unused longer. So it's very important that we address things as they happen. There is a reading in Ellen G. White's writings. It's in Councils on Stewardship, page 59. I don't know for sure if I put that up there. But it says, and listen carefully, let us not be dwellers on earth, but be getting things as compact as possible for the new earth. Compact is the word she uses. I call that decluttering. I call that purging. I call that organizing and cleaning away the things that we don't need. We're going to show a video that we hoped to show yesterday, and I hope, by God's grace, you're going to see Katrina clean a home over the next 2 minutes that is very, very dirty, very, very, very dirty for good reason, and she'll explain it, and the person that owns this home was very depressed, and that's why she calls it Depression Home. All right, let's see if it happens.
All right.
I put that on and cleaned my house. It motivated me. So you have to find what works for you so that you will feel more like doing what you know you need to do. And hire someone to do it once for you if you feel like it's overwhelming. Just spend the money and do it, or ask someone to help you. So I just want to... I want to encourage you to remember to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does collect. And that's where we need to put our treasures instead of cluttering up our house so much that it becomes a space that we can hardly walk through. So we've got about 10 more minutes. I want you to realize that you have two holes, two things that God has created that need to be fed, holes in your hearts. One is the hole to fill with necessary supplies to live, your food, your shelter, your clothing, things of that sort are the things that go in that hole in our life. The other hole is the God hole in our heart. And when many, many times that's the hole that gets filled with the stuff that we don't need in our homes, instead of taking God and all that he has to offer, we grab for worldly treasures and fill that hole with worldly things. So I want a solution to a cluttered heart or undoing that way of filling the hole that only God can fill is to relearn how to fill our homes with just what is needed to live happy, peaceful lives. And then number two, relearn how to fill the longing human heart with a relationship with God. Now, you may have never thought that your stuff was taking the place of God in your life. But believe it or not, the time that we think about our stuff, the wasted time and energy, when we could be spending time loving God and serving Him, there's a lot of time that we use, the energy, we're worn out because of the stuff in our home. And then we need to realize or relearn how to recognize the different urges in our life. Is that something I need for food, shelter, clothing, and warmth? Or is it something I want? There's a big difference. And if our wants get too imbalanced, it becomes stuff that we cannot get rid of because we've become emotionally attached to it. The needs will have God attached to it. The wants will have self attached to it. So when you go home, ask yourself the question, is this something that Jesus would want me to have? Is this something that I want? And if it's something that is clogging up your life, that is causing messy in your house, that's overstuffing your house, please question yourself. Be willing to be honest with yourself. Are there tools in your garage? If you're a tool collector, that is stuffing your garage. Please take the time to be honest with yourself, and you will find that there is many things that you can live without and be happier in the long run. Now, I'm going to tell you very, very honestly, listen carefully, just uncluttering your house will never work. You see, decluttering your house is trying to make your stuff behave. You need to declutter your heart. Do you see what I mean? When God is not there, it's never going to work. Don't spend a week decluttering. Now I'm really going to tell you, don't waste your time decluttering and cleaning your house if you're not going to let God be a part of the journey. Because when it's all cleaned out, the pain of the emptiness of those rooms, the pain will make you fill it back up again for the comfort that all that stuff gave you to begin with. Too much stuff. How much is enough? Dr. Vera Tarman says it this way, a bag full is too much, and a room full is not enough. When we are so attached to stuff, and you may go shopping or whatever it is, you know where your weakness is. A bag full is not enough, and a room full is too much. This is a personal journey between you and the God that you serve. A longing heart will never be filled with more purchases and more stuff. It can only be filled by a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's be honest with ourselves. If we have stuff at home, guess what it's coming between? Our relationship with God. I'm just saying, be real honest with yourselves. And you will find that stuffing out on God is more filling than stuff at your house. It's a very, very, it's a serious thing. Some people, and I have a good friend, she gets a high binge out of shopping. She likes it when all of her family is off doing something else. And she likes to go to all her favorite stores, look at all the sale racks, and go on a shopping spree that doesn't stop. She's a good friend of mine. 2 years ago, she became a Seventh-day Adventist. Praise God. She asked me to come and help her purge her home. My friend, I love chocolate, but she had the most expensive chocolate in her basement that was so outdated, that it had turned chalky white. And I was foolish enough to try it. It made me sick. But it was expensive chocolate, and I thought, it's still got to be good. It all went in the dumpster. Thousands, hundreds of dollars of chocolate that she planned to give as Christmas presents that never made it under the tree. Can you relate, in maybe a milder way, a smaller way, things that you have in your home that you want to give to somebody, but it's still sitting there after years? It's something that we can say to ourselves, "In by God's grace, I can buy one half to one third less than what I used to buy. I don't need 25 things of the same thing in my house. I don't need a supply," and this is something that I have learned myself. I want to be able to help anybody and everybody at the time they ask me if I have it. You know what? I'm not Walmart. I just have a home, and I have to live in my home. And I realized I can't be everything to everybody. I can't have all the stuff in case somebody asks me for something. They'll have to go to Walmart and get it, because it's just beyond my home. I'm telling you, you will feel free if you will talk to God about your stuff and ask Him, what is it that I can do to let go of the things that are so taking up my living space that I have to step over and around it to get into my house? It might be a cupboard in your house that you open and there's all kinds of stuff stuffed in there. Say, God, what can I take out of this cupboard that I can live without and come off with a more peaceful feeling in my heart? God is not coming with moving vans to take you and your stuff to heaven. Ellen White says, now is the time to make your move and compact your stuff. We've got strong counsel to live a more simple lifestyle and spend more time ministering to others around us who are hurting and need our care. Your stuff has received enough care long enough. It's now time to let some of it go so you've got more time to touch hearts with Jesus Christ. That's my sermon. I'm sticking to it. I just wanted to close. I see it's time for me to give it. You know, I gave you 15 minutes, so I'm taking the 15 back. No, I'm just kidding. But I just want to close with this. You can declutter your brain, but you can declutter your home by decluttering your mind. And who's going to declutter the mind? That's right. So let's go to counsels. Oh, I got to tell you this story. I got just two more things. A mother walked into her teenage son's makeshift weight room and watched him work out on his bench press. She was amazed. After seeing him move through several very heavy repetitions, she said, "Why is it that you can lift nearly 200 pounds, but you cannot pick up your socks?" Something to think about. And, you know, do not point your finger at anyone else but you. That's where the change begins. And when you have made the changes in your life, those in your home will start seeing the change in your heart, in your life, and in your demeanor, and they will want to do the same thing. Councils on Health, very, very, very apropos to close with. Order is heaven's first law, and the Lord desires His people to give their homes a representation of the order and harmony that pervade the heavenly courts. How can we invite Him into our homes unless all is neat and clean and pure. That's a pretty powerful statement. And God doesn't want to discourage anyone with that statement. He said it in love. And I'm saying it in love today. You are a child of God, no matter how dirty or how messy or how clean you are. But when we have clean homes, we glorify the God of heaven in a way that nothing else can do it. So let's pray about it and make it happen when we get back to our homes. And our tomorrow's subject, purging the chaos cure. So we're going to hear more about that tomorrow. And God is good. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for each one. I'll finish my prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for each and every one that is here right now. Bless them, Lord, with a good evening. Lord, please let them know that I love them. Their hearts are very precious to you. Oh, Lord, may we not leave here judged, but may we leave here encouraged to make little small changes every day in our own lives, in our own homes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at MISDA.org/audio2023. Or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcast.